Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs with me, Atta, the host of this program. We have Shaykh Ahmad Danish from the Islamic House of Qom to answer today's questions. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much.
Sometimes resistance against the oppression of the oppressors will cause lots of bloodshed and killing of your own people. I mean, you know that if you resist, you will be killed. Isn't this a kind of commitment of suicide? I mean, you know that you are being killed and still you resist. And we know that in such a situation, some people even who are not after taking part in the war will be killed too. Aren't you going to be responsible and accountable for this bloodshed in the other world? And isn't this a kind of, we can say, resistance by force or resistance on, we can say, a kind of, that's right, based on a kind of prejudice or bias rather than wisdom? I mean, resistance with wisdom is a nice thing, okay? But what about resistance without wisdom, which causes lots of bloodshed and killing of the people, even your own people, Shaykh?
Yes. So what there have been numerous responses to the hegemonistic powers in the world.
Yes.
Right. For example, what we see is that a country like Japan, right, after the Second World War was offered a choice. That is, you submit to, for example, the military supremacy of the West, right? And we are going to support you to develop technologically, develop economically. And you accept the global order of the West, right? And so Japan became an ally of the West after the Second World War. It realized that it cannot fight the Western powers openly in a military conflict. And it was because of the two atomic bombs, it got subjugated. So what happened? They allowed Japan to develop economically. Right? And
right.
They gave them technology. And of course, Japanese people themselves were intelligent people. They developed different corporations and they could stand on their feet. But do we as Muslims, right? We are a population of 1.5 billion Muslims.
Yes.
Right? And so, and divided in numerous countries, approximately some 55 countries or so are Muslim throughout the world, spread in Africa, in Asia, in West Asia, up until Europe, and Muslims are present in South America and North America as well.
Yes.
So for a population of 1.5 billion Muslims, what is wise? This is the question, right? Should, are the global hegemons willing to let you practice your religion? Are they willing to see your stature rise from being oppressed and become honorable citizens of the world?
That's right.
In such a way, or for example, let us ask this question. Would I as a Muslim be satisfied to only grow economically and put to aside my religious values?
I know, Shaykh, but sometimes this resistance causes lots of killing.
Yes.
You know that you are not powerful in order to stand against the oppressors of your time. So, and this type of stance, this type of, we can say, resistance will cause lots of bloodshed. So what about that time? Isn't it better to leave it?
Yes. Again, in
We know that this is, the Shahada is a kind of honor.
Yes.
We can say living in a stance of Shahada is an honorable death, as we call it, okay? But some people even might say that, okay, we are not satisfied with being a martyr in this way, okay? We don't like to be martyred. We want to have our easy life. We want to have 50, 60 years of life without resistance or something like that.
Yes.
So what about that? What's the answer to such a question?
Yes, for example, somebody thinks that if they could have enjoy all the material benefits, for example, that are available in the world today, they could have a good car, they could have a good life, a good house, they could eat well, wear well.
Yeah.
Would that satisfy me as a Muslim? No. I am a Muslim, a follower of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam. I have to take the mission of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, forward in my life, right? And when we see the lives and we study the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, we see that all of the imams were martyred. They were not. They did not die on their beds. Mm-hmm. Why were they martyred? Because they led a life against oppression.
That's
they
right.
always, even, for example, we see in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who died on the battlefield.
Yes.
But even the later imams, Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam, he was poisoned. Imam Al-Baqir alayhi salam, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, he was poisoned. Imam Al-Kazim alayhi salam, he was killed by Harun al-Rashid. So what we see is that all of these A'imma alayhim as-salam were leading a struggle against oppression. And if we today decide to sit idly and say that, okay, we cannot fight the oppressors of the world, would that mean that we have fulfilled our obligation towards our religion, our values, our traditions? No. We are going to be, if we leave the path of resistance, we are going to become people who don't believe in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in tansurullah yansurukum wa yusabbit aqdamakum. Allah says that if you sacrifice on my path, you will have a return not only in this world, but
right.
in the hereafter as well.
Okay.
And so this nusra for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this nusra for our a'imma, this nusra for the cause of Islam propels us to always keep our heads held high and to resist, because this is the best path that will take us closer to those goals and those
right.
values that we stand for.
Okay.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. Do we have any evidence or proof in the Sunni references showing that, for sure, the place of Imam Ali alayhi salam and his followers will be Jannah?
Yes.
I mean, is there any proof showing us, evidence showing us, I mean, claiming this straightly or not?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we have this question that is asked by our Sunni brothers.
Like, yeah.
Why have you, for example, become a different group, for example?
Called Shia, that's right.
Yes. Why can't we all be united? So it is interesting to note that this word Shia to Ali alayhi salam was even used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so we saw that even in the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a group of people, for example, Hazrat Ammar Yasir, Hazrat Huzaifa,
mm-hmm.
Hazrat Salman Farsi, who were associated and were close companions of Imam Ali alaihi salam, Hazrat Miqdad, and these people were known as the companions of Imam Ali alaihi salam. And in the traditions that we have from the books of the Ahl as-Sunnah, we have different hadiths from the Holy Prophet himself saying that these Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam have a special place. For example, we have in the Tafsir book of Ad-Durr al-Mansur, volume number 6, page number 379. This is a Tafsir by Suyuti, one of the Jalaluddin as-Suyuti, one of the famous scholars of the Ahl as-Sunnah. He says that Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari,
yes,
he is one of the renowned companions of the Holy Prophet.
Yeah.
He came to the Holy Prophet, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with Imam Ali alayhi salam. The Prophet said, "Walladhi nafsi bi yadihi inna hadha wa shi'atuhu humul faizun." He pointed at Imam Ali alayhi salam and said that, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِ I vow on the name of him who has my life in his hands, I vow, or I can say with, I can vouch that inna hadha wa shi'atahu humul fayazun. This Ali and his Shias are the successful ones, are the people who are going to succeed. Fayazun means that these are the people who are going to succeed. Of course, he meant on the day of judgment, these are the people who are going to be accepted as the entrance of Jannah. Inshallah.
Okay.
Again, another hadith from Tafsir Durrul Mansur, but another address, volume 8, page 589, says that when this verse was revealed, inna ladina amanu wa amilu salihat, ulaika hum khairul bariya.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Ibn Abbas. This narration is from Ibn Abbas. He says that when this verse was revealed of Surah Bayyina, verse number 7, Payambar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, the Prophet said that regarding Amirul Mumineen, Imam Ali alayhi salam, huwa anta wa shi'atuka yawm al-qiyama radina mardiyin, that those who believe, then do good deeds, then these are the best of the people. The Prophet said that who are these people? The best of the people, huwa anta wa shi'atuka, that it is you and your Shias who are the best of the people, and they are going to be, on the day of judgment, they are going to be radin and marziyin.
That's right.
That is, both they are going to be radi, or they are going to be happy, and Allah will be happy and pleased with them. They themselves will be pleased, and Allah will be pleased with them.
Mm-hmm.
So these are, again, great hadiths for the Shias of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But these are not the only ones. From Ibn Hajar,
yes,
in
Asqalani.
Al-Asqalani.
That's right.
We have a hadith which was when this verse of the Holy Quran was revealed, that the same verse of the Holy Quran that I recited, that innal ladina amanu wa amilu salihat ulaika hum khairul bariya.
Yes.
In his narration, he said, ya Ali, huwa anta wa shi'atuk ta'ati anta wa shi'atuka yawm al-qiyama radina marziyin wa ya'ti a'da'uka ghadbana muqmihin. In another hadith, it is said that, ay Ali, alam tasma qawla Allahi ta'ala inna allazina amanu wa amilu s-salihat ulaika hum khayrul bariya hum anta wa shi'atuka wa maw'idi wa maw'idukum al-hawd iza ajtama'at al-umam lil-hisab tad'una gharran muhajjaleen. That when this verse was revealed, the Prophet is referred to have said that it is you and your Shias, maw'idi wa maw'idukum al-hawz.
That's right.
Our meeting place and your meeting place with your Shias is the Hawz-e Kawthar.
That's right.
That is in Jannah.
Sorry, Sheikh, we can say a hadith with such diction, told about the, we can say, great Sunni figures too. Do we have such a hadith with such diction about the other characters?
For example, there is this famous hadith of the Holy Prophet regarding Imam Ali alayhi salam, that ana madinatul ilmi wa aliyun babuha, right? And so this was such a famous hadith that every one of the Sunni scholars knew about this hadith, that ana madinatul ilm, that the Prophet is the city of knowledge and Ali is the door of that city, right? And in the old times, what you had was there was a surrounding wall, and if you wanted to enter the city, you could only enter via the door.
Yes.
And so some of the hadiths regarding some of the caliphs or the companions were most probably found in Sunni sources, says that, for example, the window of the city is such and such caliph. The roof of the city is such and such caliph. But it doesn't add up, because a city only has walls and a door. It doesn't have a window that somebody could peep into the city through a window, for example, it doesn't have a roof as well. And so we see such hadiths are found that are in praise of some of the other companions. But when we see the context, when we see the authenticity, when we see the narrators, they don't add up.
Mm-hmm. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Please, for more information, visit our website, iranradio.ir. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن